Let's look now at some motives and encouragements to repent. Number one, you have obligations to repent. God commands you to do it. Acts 17, verse 30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All men means all men. It means converted, means unconverted. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Our baptism and the privileges we receive oblige us to repent. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Mark 1, verse 4. When we were baptized, even as babies, we received a sign, an emblem. When we don't repent, we are really runaways from our own baptism and from the mercies of God. And of course, if we profess grace, our very profession obliges us to repent, to turn from all sin. If ye name the name of Christ, then depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Secondly, consider what sin is. That ought to encourage us to repent. We've talked a lot about that already, so I don't need to add anything here, but just a couple quick thoughts that I haven't mentioned. One is this: impress upon your people that the pleasures of sin are at very best very momentary. Hebrews 11:25. Show them that every sinful bait has a hook with it. All sin will bite us. All sin will hook us. All sin will ultimately destroy us. Sin is an insatiable tyrant. Isaiah 57:20 says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Even unresolved sin in the conscience bothers a person. Sin is a dreadful thing. Consider what sin is. It's a separation between God and you. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And finally, of course, consider what the end of sin is. The abyss of hell. Motive number three. Consider what death is. If you don't repent, death will overtake you. It's appointed unto all men once to die. And will you be content, my friend, to die as you have lived? If you've lived in sin without God, will you be willing to die in sin without God? Don't think you'll get Balaam's wish to die the death of the righteous when you haven't lived their life. Numbers 23, verse 10. What will your sinful life look like on your deathbed? That's a powerful motivation. Ezekiel 22, verse 14. Can thine heart endure? Or can thy hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with thee, saith the Lord? I think of that story of Voltaire. I've seen the impression it makes on especially young people when I've used that as an example. You know that story. It's a wonderful illustration for you from the pulpit someday to use, where his friends were gathered around his bed and someone asked, is there anything we can do for you? And he said, yes. Who will go to hell for me? And they were quiet, of course. But there is one who is willing to go to hell for a sinner, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee to him now, before your deathbed. What will it be like to die with a load of unrepented guilt on your backs? There's no repentance in the grave. You must repent or perish. Then too, fourthly, consider the judgment day. What will it be like to stand before God? Acts 17, 30 and 31. On the day of judgment, unready to meet him, with the accounts of your sins swelling in his sight, and every sin exposed, what will it be like to meet Christ on the day of judgment when I've rejected his blood all my life and this Savior now becomes my judge? Motive number five, consider the sufferings of Christ. How dreadful God's anger must be against sin to have his son so suffer. And yet how loving God must be to have his son so suffer for sinners like us. And shall we reject that love for something so serious as sin? Will we look at a suffering Savior with dry eyes? Shall not our transgressions, which drew blood from Christ, draw tears from us? And then finally, or sixthly, consider the injuries done to God. We've opposed His nature and His will. We've walked contrary to Him. We've trampled on His laws. All the things I mentioned earlier on today. We've despised His Son. We've grieved His Spirit. We've defaced His image. We've at times been a poor example on others. Ought not these things move us to repentance? And finally, consider the spiritual blessings that repentance brings. Repentance is the channel through which God is pleased to let in all kinds of spiritual blessings and graces to fill the soul. Repentance inflames love. Repentance makes us small before God. It inclines us to worship. These are wonderful blessings. Use these kinds of motivations, and there are many more, to move your people to repentance.